Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion. Like I have said in the past and I'll say it in the future, whether it is true or not, the greatest show on the airwaves. I know I've been corrected a few times by Old Lion here on the show. Nonetheless, the Young Lion is going to make a few errors here and there. So we're happy that you are here with us on today's show. We have an exciting show for you today. Now, we call our show Old Lion, Young Lion because the Bible clearly teaches that the righteous are bold as lions. We intend to be bold as lions on this show. It is our job, nay, our responsibility, to discover truth and then proclaim it boldly. Now, my name is Anthony, and my co-host, Old Lion, his name is Sam, and we are pastors of a local church in Schenectady, New York, called Electric City Baptist Church. We meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., and we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we would love to have you come be a part of our gathering, hear the Word of God preached, and hear the people of God sing the praises of God. Now, we are also now not just on the radio here of our local radio show, but we are also on all of the streaming platforms. So find us on YouTube and anywhere you listen to your podcasts. We also encourage you to email our show. We've had a few people email. We'd love to get your comments or questions. And if they are up to par, we will get you on the show with your comment or your question. You can email us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Now, we've been doing something a little special over the last few months, and each one of our shows has had a sponsor. So I want to shout out on Instagram as well as Facebook a local photographer. It looks like the name of the photography business is D Martini Photography. So shout out D Martini and get your photos taken this year with her. We're so excited to be here with you on Old Lion, Young Lion. Why don't we do as our tradition is, if we kick our show off with a word of prayer. Old Lion, would you pray for us, please?
I will indeed. Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us through another wonderful Christmas time, a Christmas season. Lord, we're so appreciative of the families that you've put around us, the people that we love. Father, just the blessings that you've showered us with, and we're so thankful for it. Lord, as we get into the Word of God today, I pray that you would help us, Lord, take a battering ram against the philosophies of this age, against the philosophies of this world, to show the power of the gospel to change people. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to speak with authority today, and we pray that the Word of God would find its mark in the hearts of everyone who's listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over all those that are listening. And we don't know, you know, where you're at in your walk and what you've been through. We understand that sometimes at the end of the year, things can feel very stressful and you may have been coming off some kind of hurt. Our intention with this show is that we just equip you to take a little bit step closer to God. We can't walk in your shoes. We can't see with your eyes, but we do know this wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that he has been touched in every way that you have been, tempted and tried in every way that you have been, and he will be there when you need him for mercy and grace. So we'd like you to consider getting to know Jesus a little bit more in the end of this year. Now, we have a unique topic today that is going to be familiar to everybody that's listening. This show will not be a show that is distant to any human being. This is applicable and important to every person that's listening. But before we jump into it, Old Lion, we want to give you a congratulations, first of all. We hear that you had some new grandkids, and maybe you can speak a little bit on the grandkids this Christmas season. Also, we've heard that your grandkids are going to be calling you Sampa Graham, and so we want to shout out good old Sampa Graham. Why don't you shout out some of the grandkids, how cute they are, and then tell us where we've been on the show, where we're going to be on the show today, and kind of what we're looking for in 2025.
Yeah, I tell you what, there's nothing like having grandchildren. And a little shout out to my eldest grandson, Sam, number 7, and my second grandson, Leland. And I've got one in the hopper right now. The young Anthony is in the hopper and my youngest daughter. So I'm looking forward to his birth.
Now, Sam, before you jump into the show, you're going to have to explain a little bit of what this Sam the 6th, Sam the 7th, what do you mean by that?
So Sam I was born in 1837, and I presume he was named after the tallest Texan, Sam Houston. So my name is Samuel Houston Hazleton V. So we've carried that tradition all through these years up to the present day, and there are now four living Samuel H. Hazletons, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th.
Okay, so you're Sam the 5th, Samuel Hazleton the 5th. Your son will be Sam the 6th. Your dad is Sam the 4th, and now you have a grandson that's Sam the 7th?
That's correct.
Okay, great. That's just good tidbit to know about Old Lion here. Go ahead, jump into where we've been, what we're doing today, and where we're going in 2025.
Okay, so last week we got into a little bit of the Christmas story, but from an angle that maybe you hadn't heard before, and we talked about the prophecies of Daniel and these magi, these wise men that came from the east who knew about the star and came to worship this newborn Son of God. This week, we're going to deal with a question that not only is on the minds of people, but it is actually a question that the Word of God brings up. Here's the question: can people really change?
That's a good question. Can people change? And I think it's an age-old question, and this has kind of been floating around kind of maybe your family, maybe your neighborhood, maybe the people that you went to high school with. Can people really change? You may have heard a couple of slogans that people use, like a leopard can't change its spots.
Right, which comes from the Bible. That's Jeremiah 13:23. Listen to this. It says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then also you can do good who are accustomed to doing evil."
Right. No, this is something that the Bible recognizes that people have been arguing about and talking about for thousands of years. You may have heard other ones like, once a cheater, always a cheater, or once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. We've even have famous programs that people have used that they have to walk in the door and say, "I'm an alcoholic," and just admitting that this thing that has kind of strangled them is what they are. This is a philosophy of mankind that says that people don't change. Now, maybe even you have experienced someone in your life that you met 25 years ago, and then you came back and seen them again, or you revisited back home, and that person is still in the same spot, and you just said to yourself, even in your heart or your mind, people don't change. But the Bible has a lot to say about this subject. The Bible has a lot to say about whether or not people can change or can be changed, or how a person can ultimately change. And on the cusp of the new year, 2025 coming up, well, you're going to hear people at the gym or at work say, "I'm going to turn over a new leaf." Or maybe they'll say, "New year, new me." Well, we're going to give you some insight to what the Bible says about some of these things. So, Sam, why don't you jump in a little bit about, give your take a little bit about this people can't change idea, and then let's start to get into some of the Bible verses.
The idea that people can't change is an idea that's really part of this natural realm.
Okay.
And so in the natural realm, it's kind of true. We're born a certain way. We have certain DNA, certain tendencies. In this natural realm, we're going to follow a certain course, and people really don't change in that way. So the only way that somebody can change is if they make contact with the spiritual realm. And I want to read this verse in Ezekiel chapter 36.
Before you read Ezekiel 36 passage is a prophecy from thousands of years ago. So you who might be 30 or 40 or 50 years old and think that you got a whole handle on everything that's going on in the world, and somehow you're the one that's finally discovered all truth, and that your experiences have taught you to know all these different things that you know, let me just hand you this book that's been around for many, many, many generations, written by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and then gifted to mankind, not only recognizes that people are going to argue about whether or not you can change, but then is going to give a prescription of how change can actually happen. So let's look to the prophet Ezekiel. Sam, give us the chapter and the verse, and then give us a little bit of the sense of the verse.
So this is the prophet Ezekiel in about 600 BC. He's prophesying in the name of the Lord. And the Lord says this, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you." Verse 26, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Verse 29, and I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses.
Give us a little bit of thoughts of what God is kind of teaching us and what he's actually having us be in expectation of, and what promise is within that prophecy that we can kind of look forward to solve a little bit of this can people change problem.
So this is fantastic because Ezekiel was a contemporary, if you will, with Jeremiah, who said that can a leopard change his spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. So here these guys are contemporaries, and Jeremiah puts this thing out that says, hey, people don't really change in this realm. And then Ezekiel comes around and says, God comes out and says, I am going to change you. I'm going to put a new spirit in you. And this is something that's speaking prophetically 600 years before the birth of Christ about something that was only going to be possible when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene and did what he did. And we learn in John chapter 3, in verse 3, Jesus said this. He said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
So this is what we're running into. All of us are born of woman. We come into this world and we're kind of looking for answers to the questions that we have. We're starting to become a little industrious. We're learning about how to go about in this world, kind of learning the different laws of nature. We're figuring out how society works. And then we finally realize that we look into the mirror of reality and we find that we got some issues. And we got some problems. We got some things that we'd like to fix. We got some things that we're convicted or we're in our heart, we're pushed to want to change. We have a need to have some things kind of addressed and fixed and needed to be worked on so that we can be quote unquote better. And then you may have even been in this position before where you're trying your best to, I'm going to do better in this area of my life. I'm going to be a better dad. I'm going to be a better mom. I'm going to be a better student. I'm going to be a better teacher. Now, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't make attempts and goals in your life and try to succeed at those. But at the end of the day, what you're going to find is that the power that you think you have to kind of force your ability to make change for the good, Paul speaks about this in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. And he says, beware, this is in verse number 8, Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Jesus Christ. So we have a couple of passages that we want to share with you that really point to the true way of change, and that is this new birth. It's something different than after the rudiments of men. It's something different than ordering a program and paying $19.99 a month so that you can end up being a little bit better than you were in the past. True and real change can be done, but there's only one way. There's only one path, and there's only one person that can help us do that. What you need is to be born again. Mm. You've heard maybe some people in the world kind of use that phrase, I feel born again. Well, we're going to give you some of the roots of that. Not only is it in John chapter 3, but let's give us a verse from Colossians chapter 3.
So in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 7, it says, in these, meaning all these sins, you too once walked when you were living in them. Verse 8, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Verse 10, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And so we have, as a believer in Christ Jesus, something happens.
Right.
Just like when a baby is conceived in his mother's womb, you have the sperm that breaks through and fertilizes that egg, light is released, and a new creation is brought into this world. The same way, when a person who has this hard heart hears the word of God, that seed, that sperm of the word of God, hears that word of God and believes it, it's as though this insemination has occurred. There's life that has been produced. There's a new creature that's been birthed, a new spiritual creature. And so God says in Colossians, this is made after the image of its creator.
That's right. This is, we've just looked at a couple of verses from Colossians. Paul also writes in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he also writes this in 2 Corinthians, that there's a new creation that is made when one comes into belief with Jesus Christ. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, he gives an outline of all of these things that have captured you. They've trapped you in some of what the world has given you as a way of life. The Bible talks about in verse number 9, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then he says, "And such were some of you, but now ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." The Bible gives the instructions for true and real change. You were this, but now by the power and the Spirit of God, you have been washed. Throughout the Bible, there is an entire kind of catalog of passages and verses that teach how you go from one thing to another. And what it isn't is signing up for a new course of how you could be educated about what's going on. It all comes down to what you do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can a person change? Absolutely. Give us a little bit more evidence that you see from the book of Ephesians and see how this is teaching us about this. Can a person change?
So this is a parallel passage to what I just read in Colossians chapter 3.
Okay.
This is Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to start down in verse 22. It says, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires." Verse 23, "And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." This is where your change begins. It doesn't begin down at the gym. Your change begins on your knees by hearing the gospel, hearing the word of hope, hearing the truth, and believing it. That's as this new spiritual life is conceived. And then I love what 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 2 says this.
Okay, go ahead.
It says, "Like newborn spiritual infants, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation." So this is a prescription. Now, as that faith has come into your heart and you've become a new person, all of a sudden, just like a new baby comes out of the womb, it's crying for mama's milk, 7x24. Same thing, a new person who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to hunger and thirst after the Bible, hunger and thirst after the Word of God, and that's how they're going to grow up from being this spiritual infant into being a spiritual adult.
I totally agree with that, and I love your commentary on these verses. I think people throughout, specifically our country, but throughout the world and history, have heard the words of Jesus where he says, "Come unto me, all those that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest." And we kind of equate what Jesus is saying, this heavy burdened, we kind of equate that with you've been tossed around by the world, you've been hurt by the world, you've been kind of pushed around with stuff. And to some degree, that's true. But I think it applies to this conversation about people changing as well. People are desperately trying to make changes in their life without Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And in the end of all time, there will be many sober, wealthy, well-to-do, accomplished human beings who will find their souls in eternal torment and hell because they attempted to change themselves outside of Jesus Christ. They made, as Jesus would say, the outside of the cup clean, but the internal is still incredibly dirty. And what we're pointing to today is the passages of Scripture are telling us that the way by which a person can change is through the power of Jesus Christ, mentioned in some of these verses. I want to read the passage from Titus. Titus chapter number 3 in verse number 5. Titus 3:5. It's one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. The Bible says this, that was not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The way by which a man can change from a life that's led by sin and destruction, endless torment, sleepless nights, is coming before the very King of Kings, Jesus Christ, and receiving his Holy Spirit to be changed into something living. So now you might ask, is it done? Old lion, young lion, once I come to know Jesus, now I'm just done. I can just sit on my hands and I can just do whatever I want. Doesn't even matter what happens next. No, absolutely not. Now you've been given power to be called the sons of God, and he expects his sons to take the gifts that he gives them and multiply them. So what we have here is the world offers you a way by which you can change. It'll never work. It'll always end in destruction and terror. Then we've given you the path by which you can actually change, coming to Jesus Christ in faith and receiving his Holy Spirit. But now, old lion, if you could take us on a little bit of a journey to the book of Romans, and I want you to show us what it looks like after a person has been translated into the kingdom of God, actually changed, seen real transformation in their life. Now, how does a born again believer in Jesus Christ go about making change in their life?
So I'm going to start in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, this is Paul the Apostle talking, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship or your reasonable service. It's the least you can do. Then he goes on in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may be able to discern what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
So Sam, I want you to give a little teaching on this, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Kind of succinctly tell us a little bit about it, because a person might hear you saying this and say, well, this must mean I must go to church a little more, or now I don't have to care about getting my push-ups in the morning, or I don't have to care about eating right, or if it's all just about this spiritual realm, who cares about the physical realm at all? Why don't you, if someone were to give you some pushback on this, tell us how Romans 12, 1 and 2 actually gives us some actual steps of change.
Yes. So to back up a little bit, we're dealing with two falsehoods today.
Okay.
One falsehood is this idea that's out in the world that people can never change.
Right.
The other falsehood is this one is a little more insidious. And people say, oh, I know that there's a gospel. I know that you can be saved. I know that you can be forgiven for your sins. But after that, you're just waiting around to go to heaven someday. And there's no meaningful change in your life. You're not going to be a different type of person in the way you walk. I've heard people say this, well, the only difference between me as a believer in Christ and somebody who's out in the world is that I've been forgiven for my sins.
Okay.
The reality is that the expectation of God is that as a believer in Jesus Christ, this is my lifestyle. I'm going to wake up every morning and I'm going to offer my body a living sacrifice. I'm going to say, God, you are going to be in control. You're in the driver's seat today. I offer myself to you. I'm asking you to lead me by your Spirit. And then the second piece of that is I'm not going to be conformed to the philosophies of this world. I'm not going to think the way they do. I'm not going to process situations the way they do. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to wash my brain, if you will, according to the Word of God. I'm going to order my steps according to what's here in the Bible. And that's going to help me to learn the will of God, the good, perfect, acceptable will of God.
And I absolutely love that. And I want you to think about, maybe in a second, Sam, we can end the show on a personal story, if you could think of one where the Bible transforms the way that you thought about something. And I want to share one with you. I grew up in church, and I know all the listeners don't know my story and where I came from, but I grew up in church, and as I was kind of recognizing how the world was going to operate and how things were going to operate, I decided that I needed the Word of God as a guide to the direction I was going. And I actually found out that in the book of Psalms, it teaches us that it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I recognized that the Bible was not just something there to kind of keep me in check from doing too many bad things. It was not there to just make sure that I can use it to become successful in the making money in this world. That reality was that this book was something that brought me to a Savior who changed me from the inside out and then gave me spiritual food every day for me to operate not only in the supernatural world but also in the natural world. And I recognized that I needed this Bible every single day for me to kind of walk out the life that He had given me. As I began doing this, the Lord brought me a wife and brought me kids, allowed me to walk in purchasing a home and buying my first cars and going on mission for Him and being successful at a particular job and then ultimately planting a church for Jesus Christ. This Bible is the direction. This thing that gave me the path that I ought to go is where I learned all of these things and how I ought to walk. And I cannot speak highly enough that the Bible is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And there's probably many stories that I can kind of go and tell, but Sam, why don't you give us, if you got a small snippet story of a way by which you saw actual change that happened in your life by you coming in contact with this gospel change and gospel direction.
Just to key in on that lamp thing and that light thing, this is the best analogy I can make for somebody being born again. That it's like somebody turned the lights on for you. And so when those lights are turned on, you can really see. And what you see, what everybody sees when those born again lights are turned on, is you see that Jesus Christ is true. Everything that He said is true. As an unbeliever, I was in confusion. I was thinking that abortion was a good thing. I was thinking that man was descended from the monkeys. I was actually rooting for them to find the missing link. All these confusion that the world had put on me, the moment I turned to Jesus Christ, all these things immediately faded away. It wasn't an argument. I didn't have to go study, blah, blah, blah. I instantly knew this Son of God who created mankind. And so all these lies of the world just instantly faded away. The other thing that happened to me, the very day I prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts Holy Spirit who Amen. Was given to us. And there were people in my family that I had conflict with my whole life. And the day that I became a believer in Jesus Christ, those barriers went away. Instead of that animosity that I had toward them, I had a love in my heart toward those people. And it was unexplainable, but it was given to me by God. There was also, I remember that very first day I became a believer in Jesus Christ, when I went to do just habitually some of these sins that I used to participate in previously, and I just out of habit went to go in that direction. All of a sudden, there was a new voice in me, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to my spirit, saying, hey, we don't roll that way anymore. And I was a new creation. I had a new guide. I had the Holy Spirit within me, the love of God. It was a beautiful thing.
If you're out there and you're kind of contemplating, why do I have to make these new resolutions every year? Why can't I keep them past January 5th? Why am I having such a struggle to find actual change in my life? I want you to hear the testimony of Old Lion here, that the moment that he came to know Jesus Christ, received Jesus Christ into his heart, made him the king of his life, real change occurred. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 30, that the times of ignorance God winked at, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent. Let today be the day of true repentance, where you seek first the kingdom of God. You find real change that occurs in your life from your heart out. This is not a show that intends to talk about politics, though it might come up. This is not a show that gets into world affairs, though we might touch on it. We don't talk about the fashion world or the sports world. This is a show that seeks out biblical truth and declares it boldly. Can a person change? Yes. Thank you for being on today's show, and God bless.
And we'll see you at church.